Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I'm excited about this. God told me to teach a little series, so this will go for a few weeks on our Facebook Sundays. And this has to do with running the race that is set before you. And I feel like God wants to show us some new perspectives of how to look at life a little different. And I know some of you already do this, and for some of us this is just the way we think, but I also know for some people they might not have ever considered this, and I found this to be really, really helpful. You know, Paul talked about that at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, he knew it was winding up, and he said he had fought his fight, and he had run his course, and there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And that means he had a definite course to run. His was a tough one, you know, because he was so greatly called. But I can't even begin to imagine the impact that he's made on this world and is still making. Millions of people every day read his words. You know, he had a huge calling, but he'll have huge rewards in heaven. And everybody's life, whether you feel like your life is small or great, whether you feel like you have a public or private calling, that doesn't matter. But what I've seen, you know, when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, he talked about the fact that some people, unfortunately, never make it. The same type of seed, the seed is the word of God, the sower sows the word. And the same seeds are sown, but different people, for whatever reason, respond differently. And some are never able to fully take hold. Some take hold, but because of the pressures of life, they can't sustain, they can't endure to the end. The Bible talks about those that endure to the end. Those are the ones that are saved. And so there's some methods that can make that more simple, easier to do. And what happened to me when I was young, I think this was a gift from God, but when I read those words of Paul, and I'm actually going to read them to you. It's out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul was saying he had, basically my paraphrase is, there, I did it. I did what I was put on this earth to do, and I completed it. You know, Jesus says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And what we want to do is set up our lives so that we will not only make it to the end, but that we'll make it to the end with flying colors. And that's part of that is focus. It's like a person that might decide, let's say that a person is good at a particular sport and they make the decision to really go for it. They're going to live differently. You know, if they want to make the major leagues, they're going to live differently. If they want to go into the Olympics, they have to rearrange their life around that life process. You can't casually go to the major leagues. You can't casually go to the Olympics. And you can't casually finish your course. It's not a casual thing. And a lot of people, like me, came to the Lord because we were desperate. We were in trouble. Life was a mess. Maybe we had messed it up and we needed help. But as we are converted, not just saved, not just the moment we're saved, but there's a conversion process. You know, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We work it out. It's a life process. The way we do that and the way we look at that might help us stand and when others might fall. And it might help us keep standing when the winds blow one way and another way, right? And so when I first read those scriptures that Paul said, there was something, it was like something came into my soul, like, I want to be one of those. I want to be someone that at the end of my life, I'll be able to say, there, I did it. And I'm not going to say I did it perfectly. I make mistakes all the time. We all do. I'm not saying that, but that I want to be able to say, there, I did what I was put on this earth to do. And I didn't even know fully what that was. You know, who does when we're first saved? You know, we generally don't really even understand about God yet. We're just getting to know Him. We're just getting to know, maybe reading the Bible for the first time, maybe understanding for the first time what He really wants. And that takes sometimes years, and that part's okay. But for me, it was important to say, I want to finish my course. I want to run the race and be able to say at the end, I did it. I did what I felt the Lord told me to do, the best that I could, mistakes and all. And now I'm going to enter in, and I don't have to be afraid that I sloughed my job. And so that was important to me. And what I've seen, the reason I'm sharing this is that sometimes people come into our lives and, you know, we try to help them, and we'll give them the Word of God, maybe give them what the Lord is saying. And some people will take that, they'll run with it, and you'll see amazing change. But other people sometimes will see, it's really just like the scripture that Jesus said. Actually, I know you know this scripture, but Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, puts the Word of God into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat that house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell with a great crash. And what we've seen is that the same rains and winds and floods hit every house. You know, every house, your life is like a building. I'll go into that later, but your life is like a house. And how you build it and where you build it and on what you build it determines how it will stand. And the same is true of a regular house. Someone just built a house across the street from me this year. They started this summer. You know, and they did it the way it's supposed to be done. They did everything to code. They laid a foundation. Everything they did was in order. If they hadn't done that, if they hadn't put in a foundation and then they built the house without the proper foundation, it would already be tilted. You know, it would already be a mess. But the way that they did it, this house will last for many, many, many years. And so your life is very much like a house you're building. And, you know, in heaven, you're going to live in a mansion, or some people say the room of His mansion, depends on who you talk to. But I wonder if the mansion you live in will be the house you build here on earth, because you're building something eternal, you know, with everything you do, the way you live life and the way you see it. And so it helped me to see this as a long-term project. You know, I'm in it for the long run. And so I started to say this. Sometimes we get to talk to people and minister to people, and I've seen cases where, and I want to be as kind as I can be, but sometimes someone will have a problem, and I'll see that 20 years ago they were having this same problem and talking to us about it, and I was maybe counseling them or helping them, but for whatever reason they wouldn't go do the simple things Jesus said to do, and now here we're still having the same conversation. I'm not judging them at all, but I'm saying, if you look at it honestly, when your house is continually being crashed in, and especially in the same way, you might need to look at your building methods. You might need to look at, am I doing what He said? A lot of people study the Word, memorize the Word, speak the Word, become theologians, they become doctrinal, they can hold a good argument. But I will tell you that when the wind comes and the rains descend, what will matter is if you do what He teaches you to do in the Word, if you do it. And when you do it, you'll be amazed how strong your house can become, where great storms, you know, if you're in a really solid house and there's a huge storm outside, you don't hear that much of it. But if you're in a tent, it's terrifying, right? And so Jesus wants us to take a look at our life in a different way today. So one example He gave me is, if you can imagine Let's say that in the city, let's just say, there are some old apartment buildings, and they're not up to code. And because of that, let's say there's faulty wiring, or let's say there's frayed wiring, and let's say there's fires, and the firemen continually come and they put out the fire, and they come and they put out the fire, and they come out and they put out the fire. If the landlord of that building does not deal with the issue, they will continue to have fires over and over and over. And I'm saying this because what I see is we tend to live reactively to whatever life throws at us today, you know, whatever life situations, whatever the current crisis or the current heart cry or the current thing we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, C.S. Lewis talked about something called the tyranny of the urgent, you know, where we don't deal with what's truly important because we're so busy dealing with what we see as urgent. And so there's a tendency that we can fall into of always responding to whatever the big thing is today. And especially if you're prone to be ruled by your emotions will, drag you here and there based on today's circumstances. And, it's actually hard to watch when someone struggles because you want so much to help them. But imagine then if a person says, well, let me redo the wiring. Let me bring in some electricians. Let's redo it. Let's have a fire extinguisher on hand in case there is an issue. And you start to build proactively. And the parallel I'm trying to draw here is that you're building your life into something that Satan can't take out, that he's not able to take it down. His storms aren't able to move you. Life isn't able to move you. Situations and circumstances, people, you know, whether people love you or don't love you, won't move you. Whether you get that promotion or not doesn't move you, because God has something better for you anyway. And knowing his word brings a stability that's stronger than concrete. It's stronger than iron. It brings a stability. You know, one time God was teaching me about his word, and he said, it's like the skeletal structure of your body. You know, if you work out your muscles, but your bones aren't strong, it won't hold you up well. If somebody is missing some of their ribs, they won't be able to stand right no matter what. You've got to build your skeletal structure. The word is what holds it together. And without a strong foundation of the word, we won't be very solid in the way we do life. So there's a big picture. And one of the things God gave me back then is basically the idea you have a span of time on this earth. And to us, it seems long. Let's say you get anywhere from 80 to 100, 105. You know, the Bible says 120, yahoo. But let's say that. And so if you're younger, that might look long to you. But what the Bible says about it is in James 4:14, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. In the big scheme of eternity, this is like poof. And I remember Edgar saying in his 80s that when he looked back over his life, he said it seemed like a blink, like whew. And when you look at it that way, you think, well, then how do I want to live in such a way that I stay focused so that blink doesn't pass? And suddenly, here's what happens. The paramount moment in our life will be when we step over, whether Jesus comes to take us or whether we pass away out of this body and step over. One day every person will pass through and stand before the King. And if you're saved, thanks be to God, you know, we have an advocate, and Jesus will defend us. Thanks be to God, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And thanks be to God, the Bible says he is able to make us stand faultless before the throne. But even if you're saved, your works will still be judged, and your words will still be judged. Of every idle word a man shall speak, he will give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's kind of scary to me, because sometimes I don't always say what's right. Oh no. And so At that moment, I believe with all my heart that we'll see that everything for us is about that moment. And I believe that we will wish fervently that maybe there are some things we have done differently or done better or spent more time with him or learned more from him. I want to live in such a way where on that day I not only won't be ashamed, but I'll be able to bring something before him. I want to bring him some souls. I want to bring him some people. What can you give the man who has everything? You know, if he doesn't have something, he can create it with the breath of his mouth. What can you give to him? Well, besides worship and adoration in your life, there is something you can give him, and that's people, you know, souls. And so I don't want to be weird about it, but I do want to think about what I bring before the king on that day. What do I bring before my king? What can I give to the man who has everything? And so for me, I want you to think, just ponder this for a little bit and pray. You can pray over the course of your life. You know, don't just pray for the immediate needs that you have and the goals that you want, the things that are important to your heart. That's all good. But pray over your life. Pray over the course of your life. Pray that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Pray that you'll be able to escape the things coming upon the earth. Those are instructions from Scripture. Pray that you'll be built up and edified so that nothing can take you down. Pray that you'll be able to build your foundation on the rock. Pray things, speak things, because you can't do it without the grace of God, without his help. But what I've seen is the grace of God is invoked when we ask. So I ask the Lord to help me build my life in such a way that I will never fall away, that I will never be tempted beyond that which I'm able, that I'll never give in to the enemy. I pray that I'll be strong and stalwart, that I'll have, that I'll always be close to him. You know, pray things like that over your life. Those, because here's something you might not know. You may pray a prayer today and forget it 3 years from now. But God never forgets it. He's not stuck in time. There have been times when God saved my bucket from a prayer I prayed some years ago. And they reminded me, don't you remember you prayed that prayer? You know, God bailed me out. And I thought, praise the Lord, I don't remember praying. And he would say, don't you remember that day you were driving on the road and you said these words? See, he never forgets a prayer. So pray over the course of your life. Pray over your kids, the same stuff. Because your life is important, and the whole of your life is important. How you walk it out, how you stay centered. It's a race. And one thing about a race, you know the goal. In a race, you know what the finish line is. You're not meandering from left to right and wandering, oh, I'm going to go into town and have coffee, and then maybe I'll come back over here and look at a house. And no, in a race, there's a sense of focus that there's a expected end, can we say it that way? An end that I want to run through that banner. I want to get to that place, and I want my path to be straight and narrow so that I'm able to finish it. Amen. So your life, according to the word, is like a building that you are building. So if you think about any big project, right? Some people have never done big projects, or they've never thought this way. That's why I'm sharing this. Some of you are project managers. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you have a large project that has a number of pieces to it, or what you might call sub-projects, what you do is, the first thing you do is before you start any of the work, you sit and you think about all the pieces of it and probably write those down. And then you think about, what is everything I'm going to need to do to make that work? What are all the resources I have to have? What are the time frames? And what needs to be done first? What's first? And as you do that, if you do that, your project, and as you continue through the project, if you are careful of your process, your project will be a success. But, you know, I knew a man who had never built a house. He knew some things about carpentry, but he built a little cabin in the woods. And he basically got the stuff and started building. But the county came after him because he not only didn't build it according to code, he built it too close to water, he didn't do the right kind of foundation, he didn't do the right kind of spacing, and so a dear friend came in and said, let me help you with that, because he was getting code violations. He literally had to, they had to pick up and move this cabin, and when they did it, the friend was a construction worker and knew all about projects, right? So he came in and he reconstructed this thing further back so it was according to code. And my point is nothing, you know, the man just didn't know any better, but when you just start building, if you haven't thought it through, if you haven't prayed it through, or you haven't dealt with the way it's supposed to be done according to God's word, your life I'm talking about, is you'll find that you have some issues. Did you ever have an issue that seems to happen over and over, or it seems to just be one thing after another? Sometimes, not always, but sometimes when that happens, especially if it's a pattern or recurring pattern, or it just seems like a lot, you might want to ask the Lord, is there something that I need to see? Is there something you're trying to help me see? And I'm not saying it's sin, because generally, in my experience, it hasn't usually been sin. It's usually been a misunderstanding, a false belief system, or something I wasn't understanding or putting into practice in His Word, okay? And for me, the biggest example would have been faith. Everything in my life was falling apart. My emotions were ruling my life. I did not understand it. And God began to challenge me. And how He challenged me was, He said, do you believe I am who I say I am? And I knew He was commanding me to inspect my faith. And when I inspected it, it was a massive failure. You know, I could say that I believed. I could do all the right words. I could do that. But deep down, I no longer believed, and in fact was very frustrated. And so things were just falling apart, and I mean in every area of my life. But I didn't know it was my own doing. And so one example might be, if you continually have a flat tire and you put air in the tire, if it goes flat again and you put air in the tire and then it goes flat again, sooner or later, it behooves you to say, maybe there's a nail in my tire, and maybe I need to go to somebody and have them either fix it or put a new tire on. So things are occurring in a pattern for me. That's a signal that maybe I need to look at something. Maybe I need to ask the Lord to help me see. In my case, I'll be honest, I bet this has happened hundreds of times in my life, where God was actually trying to bless me. He wanted to bless me. The blessing was waiting at the door, but I had a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding in an area, perhaps a false belief system, and God was trying to help me see it, but I wasn't really asking the right questions. And so when the tire starts to go flat, now immediately, the first time, but this wasn't always the case, I would go to God and say, okay, is there something I'm missing? And somehow God will get the information to me. You know, sometimes He doesn't always just come out and say it. Sometimes I'll have a dream. Sometimes I'll have it's like I'll be in prayer and something will just kind of bubble up. I'll just be like, I realize, oh, I'm looking at that wrong, or I'm seeing this wrong, or oh, I'm supposed to do that over there. And what is He doing? He's helping me build the house according to code. And so let me just read you some scriptures that are dear to me. In 1 Corinthians 3, starting at 9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. In other words, you and God are working together to build a house. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Isn't that interesting? According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. Now, Paul is talking about the big temple, because we are also working together to build the temple of God in the Spirit, the Bible says, right? It says we are the temple, the church universal is the temple, but you also are a temple. So God has a lot of structures that He's trying to build in the earth, but in the Spirit in the earth. You understand? So when you build something, it's not that you're building things in the natural, like a natural business. what you're doing is you're building something in the spirit, and when you do it, it will reflect, the perfection of that will reflect in your business, or the imperfections of that will reflect in your business, in your life, your family, your household, your ministry, whatever the case is, okay? So what you build in the spirit with the word of God, right, and through prayer, that's why we pray so much, because we are building things in the spirit because of the Holy Spirit, right? What does it say? Build up your most holy faith, edifying yourself, praying in an unknown tongue, right? When you pray in an unknown tongue, you build yourself up. You're edifying. What is edifying? You're building a building. You're building something. God is helping you build. But, and why would he give you, some people say, why on earth would anybody talk about speaking in tongues? Well, the reason God gave it to us is, he said in the word, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit speaks the words of God, the will of God over your life, over your destiny. You're building a building, right? So since we don't know, we're clueless, he knows. And so as we pray, we are allowing him, where thank God, he is speaking through us the things that he wants to come to pass in the earth. It's an amazing thing that he did. A lot of people come against it, but the reason is the devil is terrified of it, because it really knocks his legs out from under him. And so he has sown terrible doctrine into the church to try to keep people away from that, because he's terrified of it. And so the people who don't know, you know, what a blessing it is or how powerful it is, minimize it or even come against it. Okay, hallelujah. Let me keep going here. Now, Paul talked about how he's laying a foundation, but verse 11, no one can lay a foundation. Oh, excuse me, let me back up. I missed this. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it, okay? For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. So think about this. Gold, silver, precious metals, when the fire comes on them, what happens to gold in the fire? It becomes more pure, it becomes more beautiful, it highlights, right? It becomes brighter, it shines more. Same with silver, precious stones. So those will stand the test. And what do you think those are? Come buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold, silver, precious stones are the things we build according to God's word in the spirit. And they will stand not just in this life, they will stand for eternity. In eternity, the things you do in God, the things God does through you, okay, those will last for all eternity. For all eternity, we'll see structures, thank you, Jesus, that were built during the earth season by those of us we really didn't even maybe fully understand it, but God said, go and do this. Go and talk to that person. Go take a basket to so-and-so. Go help that person move. Whatever. When God has you do something, no matter how simple or low it seems, you are building something in the kingdom that will last eternity. That's, I believe, the gold, silver, and precious stones. It will last all eternity. When you speak a word that was given by the Spirit, even if it's one little sentence, you know, a friend of mine was saying that the most encouraging word she ever got in her life was when a woman looked at her and almost involuntarily said, pointed at her and said, Catherine Coleman. And that was the word. And she said what the lady didn't know was that she had been praying fervently to be used of God in healing. And she'd received all these other big flowery words, but she said that word meant more to her than anything, because God knew her heart was crying out to be used in healing. And so think about this lady who delivered that word. She may not have even understood. So many times we don't always understand the fullness of the words we give. The recipient usually does. You know, sometimes we deliver a word and we think, okay, that was a little odd, you know, but the person will often come back and say, oh, let me tell you the backstory. And so But as that lady gave her that word, what just happened? Precious stone. Because she built something in my friend's life. She built something that was done by the Spirit of God, not by her flesh. It will last eternity. And who knows how much that turned my friend's life to begin to do things differently. Two words. So now, all those things, that all those structures she goes on to build because of that encouragement, will last eternity as well. You got to learn to look at things a little differently. Let me keep going here. A wood, hay, or straw. Let's talk about that. I'll give you what I think is an example of wood, hay, or straw. As you know, a fire will burn that up. Even good, strong wood, even if it's ash, even if it's a good, strong wood, a good fire will burn it up. And it'll be just ashes, nothing left. It won't last for eternity. It will just burn. And what that might be is, you say, can a Christian have wood, hay, and stubble? Oh, yeah, all the time. Let's say that God tells a person to start a ministry, and it really was God, but they run off and start it, and they do it in the flesh. They do it with their personality or their earthly abilities. They may do a lot of things that weren't the way God would have done it. And a lot of that, perhaps not all, but a lot of that will be wood, hay, and stubble. So you'll see this building in the Spirit that would be a mixture of some good things, some not good. And I personally believe, and I can't prove this, this talks about the day, you know, the day that this will happen. But I actually think that some of this also happens as we live through life. As we live through life, we build things and they're not necessarily God, right? Have you ever had a relationship that wasn't of God? Have you ever gotten involved in a relationship and it wasn't God? Wood, hay, stubble, right? And then what happens? Because you didn't obey God, the fire comes, right? The relationship is burned up, right? There might be a broken heart. There might be all kinds of things happen, right? Because it was stubble. And so the fire actually comes to test the work in this life. The thing burns up. Now you got to start over and move on. I think that in this life, a lot of our works are proven as we go through life. And you can tell by how they stand, right? You can tell. I learned from somebody that they were married someone, and God had clearly said, don't marry that person, right? And so now you've got a situation, right? You've got difficulty, right? Not that God can't redeem it. He can, you know, praise the Lord if we pray, but now you've got a much tougher road, right? Because the fire comes and, oh boy, there's a lot of stubble there, right? And I've had stubble in my life. I remember when I was very, very young and all fired up for Jesus, I was witnessing to this young man that I worked with, and he wanted to date me. And so I would say, well, okay, but we're watching Jesus of Nazareth. And the whole thing was like missionary dating. But I started to like him a little too much. And he knew I was telling the truth, but he wasn't ready to commit to Jesus. And I knew that the days of missionary dating were supposed to end, but I didn't end it, but I was supposed to. Stubble, wood, hay, stubble. So one day God gave me the scripture, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. And we didn't sin, but I will tell you, it was right up to the edge. You know, I have a friend that says, if you want to stay out of if you don't want to be in a compromising position, stay out of the back seat, right? And so I was very young, you know, mid-20s, I'll say. And I remember that God was telling me lovingly, break this off. You know, you've told him the truth. You've witnessed to the man. He's heard the whole story many times, many different ways. He saw you get healed. Let him go, right? Wood, hay, stubble. If I hadn't let him go, if I hadn't broken up with him, it would have been bad, right? It could have gotten real bad. What if I'd have married the guy? And what if he never turned? Now I got a real housing issue, right? I've got a house in the Spirit that's just a mess, right? Now I got to spend my whole life, you know, begging God and praying and fasting and confessing and going to church and getting prayer, right? Bad idea. Bad idea. So, wood, hay, and stubble. It says, the day will show it because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. So everything you do in the Spirit, everything you do that's of God, that God is God motivated or God inspired or even God doing it through you, you will receive a reward for that. This is amazing to me. What we do by grace alone, which means God's ability does it through us. I've learned how to flip the switch and let God's grace do through me what I cannot do in the natural. Now, here's the amazing thing. I believe Paul lived that way. He all the towns he went to, all the witnessing, all the churches he built, all the things that man did, he did by the grace of God. And then, so it's really God doing it through you. So really, you didn't do anything but allow that and pray for that, right? But God does the work. He said, it's no longer I, but Christ in me does the work. Christ in me preaches. Christ in me builds the house. Christ in me studies the word. Christ in me gets the revelation. I can't take credit for that. That's all him. It's all him. It's all him. But in the end, isn't this amazing? We get rewarded for the very things he really did through us. I find that amazing. So Paul goes around doing all these phenomenal things by grace. And in the end, he's rewarded as though he did it, even though God really did it through him. That's an amazing system right there. So basically, these scriptures are saying, I didn't finish. Verse 15. Let me back up. I'll read 14 again. If anyone's work that he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. So all the stuff we did in the flesh, all the things we did that were not God motivated, that were not God inspired, those things will burn, but thanks be to God, we will still be saved. And personally, I'm asking God to burn it now, deal with it now. I don't want to be embarrassed on that day, and I don't want to live through fire on that day. I'd rather do it now. You know, burn it now. Burn it down if it's not God. You know, because I want to stand before the Lord. You know, I'm his little girl, and I want to do the best I can. And with all my mistakes, I want him to burn them up now and help me get it right now. So basically, all that said, that your life, you are a building. Your life is a building. And that building will go through fire. All that is wood, hand, stubble will burn. But the gold, silver, and precious stones will not burn, but rather they will start to glow, and they will last eternity. Okay, then verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? A temple, a house, a building, a place where God resides. And I will tell you this, the level of the Spirit that you operate in, that you exude, that you give off, that you can preach or teach or share or prophetically give a word, it is directly proportional to the house you build in the Spirit. Okay? And before you, I cannot take the time to preach this now, but God showed me when I was young a picture of a vacant lot just full of junk. It had junk, it had weeds, it had old gnarly trees, and it had old tractor parts and embedded tractor, you know, stuff like embedded in the soil, big boulders. And he said, if you were going to build a house here, before you even build that house, you need to get all that junk out of the land, off the land. You start pulling that stuff out, right? Pull the boulders out. What am I talking about? Strongholds, wrong thinking, wrong relationships. Spend the time it takes to get some deliverance and emotional healing. Get the junk out. We decide, I don't have any junk. Darling. We all have stuff. Here's a way that it helps me to look at it. This isn't a pride issue. We all have stuff. If our name isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we all have stuff and issues and thoughts and issues and, you know, and issues. And, you know, sometimes we tend to say, well, I'm doing good. You know, I'm saved, I'm praying, I'm doing all the good stuff, I'm okay. But here's how I look at it. Here's how I think God has given me to look at it. If we compare ourselves among ourselves, we might go, well, I'm doing really good. I'm doing better than those guys. I'm doing good spiritually. But if I compare myself to Jesus, not doing so good, am I? If I compare myself to Jesus, I see all kinds of stuff that might not be what it needs to be, right? Am I walking in love like he did? Have I died for my brother and sister the way he did? Have I spoken the truth when it was hard like he did? Yikes. Okay, so I have a lot of work to do, don't I? So we have to look at it more in the light that God sees it. Amen. And this is not a legalist thing, but he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, we can't be unless we build that building in the Spirit. And so I don't believe we're done. I don't believe there's, I'm done. Now I'm done. I'm free now. That's it. I'm done. I can say that in my life. I look at it as a lifelong journey where I will ever be honing, correcting, perfecting, getting rid of. If I need, you know, even if my house is built, I might find something in the closet that I say, oh, I forgot he still had this. Or I thought this was okay. It's kind of funny. Actually found something in a closet. It's this cute little stuffed animal that my sister had given me, cute as a little button, and God said, throw that away. I'm like, but it's so cute. God said, throw it away. And you know what? Sometimes you don't know what you have in your closet until God points it out. And I'm not saying you have to throw away your stuffed animals, but he wanted me to throw that one away, okay? So I'm going to keep talking about running the race for a few weeks. This is just part one. And I'm going to go into some of the things that we can do to help us run the race better, help us to see how to run it better. Not that I have this perfected, but these are some things that have helped me. So today I'm going to give you a few points before I end. I want you to consider that this is a long-term race with a definite goal. You'll be running this race for the rest of your life. So there's a specific goal. It's definite. You know what, when you're running a race, you know what the goal is. I'm going to help you understand a little bit what I believe God is saying the goals are. And you want to keep your eye on the goal while you're doing other things. We're all called to do many things, right? I've got a million irons in the fire. Got all kinds of stuff going all the time. But I never really lose sight of the goal. For me, that's become such a part of the way I think, that while I'm doing all the other stuff, I'm very aware that I'm running a race. I'm very aware of the long-term goal. I'm very aware of the long-term effort that I'm in. So you keep your eye on the goal so that you don't wander, right? Because where you look is where you go. If you lose the sight of that goal and you start to look at, oh, that looks really good over there, maybe I'll go do that. See, I will confess something to you. I love business. I love business. It's not about the money, it's about the game of it. I've always loved it. I have a gift for it. It would be so easy for me to go, ooh, that would be a great business. I used to do this all the time. Ooh, look at that. You know, while I was working full time and doing ministry, that would be a great business. And it'd be so easy for me to just run over there and start that business and get going and get sucked in and do nothing else. But I can't do that unless God lets me do it, because I have to keep my eye focused on the race I'm running. And you can't do everything. You can't do everything. I don't think if I lived 50 lifetimes that I'd be able to do everything that my flesh would like to do. I'd like to learn to paint. I'd like to learn to write books. I'd like to, you know, there's a million things I want to do. I want to play the piano better. You name it. I love all that stuff. I love to learn. I take classes constantly. But if I let myself, you know, I would start another business and I would get sucked into it and I wouldn't pay attention to the goal, because where you look is where you go. Okay, so if you're not focusing, at least in a regular way, you might lose sight and you might begin to wander, right? You can get your eyes focused on family, focused on relationship, focused on all the stuff. I remember some years where my whole focus was the church. It was a wonderful church, but you know that doing the work and the helps, I was on every helps committee known to man, and after 10 years, I was a helps committee burnout. I was so burned out, and I realized that God had become, though he was first in my heart and first on my lips, he was actually last, because I had time for everybody else, but no time for my Father. And I was miserable, and he wasn't too happy about it, you know. So there had to be some severe correction done. I had to cut everything, stop everything, revamp my whole life, and build it around him instead of around everybody else. Hallelujah. Okay, so you want to keep your eye on the goal. So what is the goal? You might be saying, well, how do I know what the goal is? I believe that there's two goals for every believer, and probably other stuff God will give you, but I believe every believer has two. So to please God, we have to know two things. Why am I here? Number one, why am I here? Why did you make me? You know, he said, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. I chose you. He chose you. Did you know that? You didn't choose him, but he chose you. That is, to me, just the coolest thing ever. God picked you, handpicked you, chose you. You were formed in the womb, fearfully and wonderfully made, and made with a purpose in mind. So, number two, fulfill that mission. So, what am I here to do? Why am I here? What am I here to do? And how do I fulfill it, right? Those are things to think about. And I think about them. In fact, I've had to get over being obsessive about it, you know, because I think about it all the time. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I accomplishing what I'm supposed to be accomplishing? And so I want to talk about this for just a second before I quit. So why am I here? Over the years, I've come to believe that the number one reason we are here is not accomplishment. It is fellowship with our Father. We might call it sonship, relationship, being a child of God in a family way. God is our Father, and He wants children. And how God talks to me about this is that He didn't make Adam to win souls, because there was no souls to win. He made Adam for fellowship. He wanted a son. He wanted a family. He wanted someone to pour His love on, to have a relationship with, to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, every day. God loves fellowship. And before you take the world by storm with your great ministry or whatever you're called to do, remember your primary ministry is to Him. Your primary goal in life is to love God, to worship God, to adore God, to hang out with God. You know, there should be times in your life, and it doesn't have to be formal and religious. It can be, you know, to me, hanging out with God might be I throw myself on the couch, stick my feet up, and just hang out with Him, talk about the day. I ask Him about His day, kind of. You know, how are things? You know, how are things in your corner of the world, God? How, you know, think about what God has to look at every day. Think about the things He has to see. You know, we watch the news. Sometimes people get upset over news. Some people just get like, you know, so riled about the news. And it's easy to do because the news can be very upsetting. But think about what God sees on the news. Think about the news that happen, the things that happen on this earth that God has to see. Do you ever think about this? Does it hurt His heart? Is there things He would like to see done? Do you ever ask Him, how do you feel about that? What do you think about that situation? I have a friend, trying not to go too long. I have a friend that became very ill with cancer. And she is a pastor's wife, and she's told the story publicly, so I think it's okay for me to share. She's a pastor's wife. She became very ill, and she said prior to this, she was all about the church and the carpet and the pews and the you know, PowerPoint or whatever the visuals were. When she got sick, she said, Lord, if you heal me, I'll devote my life to doing what's most important to you. And God began to give her some things that were most important to Him, and she forsook everything except her husband, of course. And she and her husband began to change the way they did things. And she has became a missionary, and her husband sends her out, and the church sends her out. It's remarkable. She's gone all over the world, helping the poorest of the poor, and witnessing and telling about Jesus. It's a remarkable story. But what was she doing? She traded in the carnal for the real, right? And on that day, she's going to have a lot of gold, silver, and precious stones, because what happened, her other stuff was burnt by fire, wasn't it? The wood and stubble. God doesn't care about your carpet. You know, you might, and that's okay. It's okay to have good carpet. It's okay to ask Him for good carpet. That's okay. But what's not okay is if that becomes your big house. That's not okay. So let me keep going here. Part of your race will be to find out from God who you are and what He desires for you. Now, here's what I found. Generally, God doesn't knock on your door with the list, here you go, you know, just because you're a Christian and you asked me in two sentences. No, I didn't find that to be the case. I found it to be the case, you will seek me when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. For me, finding purpose and understanding mission is a lifelong journey. I have prayed, I don't know how many hundreds of hours into finding out what I'm supposed to do, and even understanding everything I teach came from hours spent with God, hours in the prayer room, and still doing it, to try to understand heaven. How does heaven work? How does heaven work on earth? How is our life supposed to be built? How do we interact with heaven while we're in a physical body on earth? And I'm not trying to brag, I'm trying to tell you, if you casually say, okay, God, you know, just imagine somebody chewing gum, okay, God, you know, show me something I'm supposed to do for you and I'll do it. And then you go about your merry way and you don't really pay attention to God, is you're never going to find it, just being blunt. But if you spend time with him every day, hanging out with him, reading his word, sit at the feet of his word, things will begin to come more clear. And he doesn't show you your whole house at once. At least he hasn't for me, I'll say it that way. He shows you the lot that needs to be cleared. He shows you a foundation that needs to be poured. It took me probably a year and a half to even see and begin to pour the foundation when I was building. But now I don't have to revisit that because it became part of who I am, right? It was a deep work. Grace became a deep work in my life, part of who I am. And everything I do is based on a foundation of the Word and His grace. And so it took me a long, long time. So it's a lifestyle. It's not casually done. You don't visit the track once in a while. This is something you attend to all the time. Admittedly, you can do other things. You will be doing many things, always, right? You might be raising kids. When you're raising kids, you can't go lock them in the background back room while you build your life. You're dealing with them all the time. But always in your heart, you're seeking, you're just asking the Lord. Always you're aware, right? Because part of your mission will be to raise up the kingdom in them as well, which is awesome, right? One of the greatest things you can ever do. I'm talking to somebody, you've got kids and grandkids. One of the greatest things you can ever do is pray into their lives joyfully, build the kingdom in them. It's huge. So set your course, meaning make a decision today that you will run your course no matter what it takes, that you will seek the Lord to help you run it well and finish well. You know, so at the end, I'm gonna have you pray a prayer if you want to. Optional, of course. You're going to pray over the course of your life. Every once in a while, something will come to your mind. You'll say, man, I need that. I remember when we saw some Christian ministers fall into sin, I began to seriously pray because I knew I was called to ministry. I began to fervently pray, man, deliver me, get any junk out of me. I don't ever want to get into ministry, maybe become known, even by a small group, and then do something that would bring reproach on the name of Christ. I began to pray into getting all the junk out so that it would never bring disgrace on the name of Christ, so I could live a holy life, that I could ever seek holiness. I began to fervently pray into that. So you're going to pray over the course of your life. Things will come to you. Oh, I should probably pray that so that I'll stay the course. You know, it's just like I said earlier about the Olympics. If you wanted to go to the Olympics, what would you change? Everything. If you were intending to go to the Olympics, you would have to change when you get up, when you go to bed. You would be thinking about, who should my trainer be? The Holy Ghost. You know, the parallel is the Holy Ghost. How do I eat? When do I eat? What do I eat? They would change. Your trainer would change everything about how you do things, not because he's punishing you. That's the big misconception. But because he's preparing you to be the greatest, right? He's preparing you to do great things, which you can't do casually. Proactively seek the Lord. So hopefully this has been some help. We'll keep talking about some different methods, but Lord willing, and let the grace of the Lord be on me, in the next weeks on Facebook, Sunday nights. But if this meant something to you and you'd like to make a proclamation, I'm going to have you say after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I've heard these words. I want to fulfill my mission in life. I want to be able to say with Paul that I fought the good fight, I ran my course, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Father, I want to be able to say that I did it. I did what I was put on this earth to do. But Lord, I know that I can only do that by your grace and your ability and you working with me. So Father, help me every day, every week, every month, every year, as long as I live, to run the race that is set before me, to keep my focus on the prize, to keep my focus on Jesus. No matter what else I'm doing, that becomes groundwork, that becomes foundational for me, that I'm always thinking of how I can love you, adore you, worship you, spend time with you. Teach me how to fellowship with you properly. Teach me how. Teach me how to listen to you and talk to you and understand the different ways that you speak or emanate information to me. Teach me how to read the word. Teach me how to understand it. Teach me how to work with others, how to love others. Teach me how to fulfill my mission and help me understand what are those things you might want me to accomplish. And through our fellowship, let that grow. I pray that I'll come to a place, Lord, where it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, that he does the works. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I pray that this has been helpful to you, and I'll talk to you about it more next week. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.